July 29, 2022, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
I guess you were so wrapped up with what he was doing.
Yeah, well, see, when we made that, I hadn't played with him too long. I hadn't been playing with him long. And actually, he would throw me more, you know, quite often. He would actually throw me because I hadn't played with him long. And I was unfamiliar, you know, with the changes and stuff. But as time went by, I got used to him, you know, and he can get awfully tricky, you know. It makes you keep alert, you see. He likes that, you know. He likes to keep the mental process vibrating, you know. And you get to like that thing, you know, after you get to play with it a while. But at first, he's like, I was afraid.
Lying on my doorstep, but I am not afraid. Light as green as money in the bamboo shade. Foothills kneel in wonder at a door that need not close. And I'll leave an empty cage behind me when I go. I feel lighter now than any note that you might choose. Freedom's just a word we're forever free to use. And coyotes are to whipping boys when neon is to sin. And I'll leave an empty cage behind me for every place I've been. I'll leave my empty cage behind me when I go. I'm free as the wind blows. There's a salmon-colored nomad pulling up beside the curb, and there's a spirit in the hillside for every weed and herb. And I'd write every last word down for you in case you might be stoned. And I leave my empty cage behind me, the rusty hinge had moaned. I'll leave my empty cage behind me when I go. Hot plate in the Casbah, and I've been up all night. I'm a disciple to my coffee, I kiss and hold it tight. If you had a life as rich as mine, I doubt it, but good for you. Leave my empty cage behind me, and the bars are painted blue. I'll leave my empty cage behind me when I go. I'm free as the wind blows. Here's one last drink to my vibration, and I won't spill a drop. I have a six-string calling card with a nickel-plated top. Let me have my freedom now. I know what the bamboo knows, that I'll leave my empty cage behind me when I go. I'm free. Thank you.
For Pedro, okay. Happy Friday. Start off the show with John Coltrane talking to August Blume in 1958. More about playing with Mr. Thelonious Monk. And then we have Patrick Breyer doing Empty Cage Behind. This is for Chris Darrow, 1944 to 2020. And through the fucking amazing accomplishments of those software engineers in Estonia, their Skype invention, I got Brother Patrick Breyer from Ontario. Welcome aboard, Patrick.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. We got to give Dennis from the Shrimper Records respect and credit for the connect. Thank you, Brother Dennis.
He's our connection, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Brother Patrick, can you bring us your earliest musical recollection, please?
Well, I can hear it start from the top. What, and I'll make it about music, but I'll start with my grandfather, who came to this country at the turn of the century, the early 1900s, from what is now Slovenia. And he ended up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, working in the copper mines. And while he was there, he met a woman and married her, and she had a daughter, and her husband, former husband, had died in the mines, and he adopted her. They had a couple of other kids while they were there. But while they were there, they were at an incident, that a famous incident called the 1913 Massacre, which became a Woody Guthrie song. And they were present in the building when the 70 people got killed. And so Woody Guthrie wrote a song. And it wasn't until well after my grandfather passed away in 1969 that we found out that he was there and present. Our aunts told us in passing.
Wow.
And me and my brother sang that song already. It was in our set list.
Oh, wow. You know, we had a guy who wrote songs like that, lived in Pedro a little bit, named Joe Hill. And he wrote songs for the IWW. Yeah. Him and his brother lived here a couple years, maybe 100 years ago. And Sinclair Lewis got arrested for reading the Bill of Rights. There's a lot of labor stuff here, too. So you say you and your brother had this in the set list. So you started playing early?
No, I didn't start playing until I was 18 or so.
Ah, okay. Because I was wondering, the house you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
My mom played the piano. My dad didn't own a record. My brother was six years older than me, so he's the one that brought home the Elvis records and the Beatles records. And later on, we got into Woody Guthrie and all that.
What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, I didn't. Well, I wanted to, when I graduated high school, about my last year, I wanted to play the fiddle, like bluegrass. I started getting interested in bluegrass music, and I didn't have a fiddle. So I joined the orchestra, showed up on the first day, got the fiddle, and never went to class. I gave it back to him at the end of the year. So I had a fiddle to learn. I tried my best to go to a library and I stumbled across the Harry Smith collection, which everybody, I just liked it. I didn't know everybody how popular it was, but I really liked it. And so I went to a pawn shop and I got a banjo and I was in my room trying to learn how to play it and listening to Harry Smith. And my mom came into the room with her eyes real big. What are you doing? I said, I don't know. I got a banjo. I'm trying to kind of like this stuff. And I was in the next room singing all the songs that her dad sang. He was from there. She came from West Virginia, but she never talked about it. They never talked about it. They try to get beyond their hill upbringings. So she never talked about it. And then I was in the next room, must have had it in the genes or something, because I wondered why I was always so attracted to it. Would a kid in the suburbs so interested in a cabin on the hill? But I was just on a tear.
Sure.
So that became part of the deal.
You said your brother brought home the Elvis records, but what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Crimson and Clover.
Oh, wow.
The 45.
I remember that one.
I don't know what I was thinking, but when I listened back, well, that was pretty cool. I don't know what I was thinking, but...
Yeah. And what was the first game?
I had no reference. I didn't come with a big musical family. We had a lot of references. We just had a couple. I remember we had a old Victrola out, and there's a house behind that we kept our grandfather in. He lived... And there was a Victrola out there, and it had somebody had given it to us, and they just gave us a 78 records too. And one of them was Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Whoa.
I remember playing that with no reference. I thought it was cool, but I didn't know why, but I would keep playing it.
Yeah. And what was the first?
In the fire.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what was the first gig you saw?
First music?
Live music that you saw, like a gig, right? A performance.
Well, one kind of interesting thing was my uncle was, my godfather too, he was a man named Jack Ross, and he had several million sellers on Dot Records in the 60s. One was Cinderella. I don't know if you remember it.
Sure, and I remember Dot Records.
Here's a story to make your fresh creep or something like that. Yeah, and so... Coming home from school and turning on the TV, and there'd be Lloyd Thaxton, if you remember that. He had a dance show in the afternoon for teenagers, I guess. And there was Lloyd. He would lip sync. It was comedy, I guess. He was on his knees with his shoes on his knees, lip syncing Cinderella. That's when I realized my uncle was something. So that made me... That made me interested in music. I don't know what it was, what to make of it yet, but I could see, get an idea, I think, of how music tentacles out into the world.
Sure.
You could be in your bedroom and write something that tentacles out into the world.
Well, let's talk
and
about...
Always just a,
let's talk about writing, Patrick. When did you write your first song?
I was at the river, Colorado River, with my friends, without parents. We were in high school, and we got really drunk. I know I did, and I got arrested just for being, you know, this cop didn't know what to do with me. I wasn't causing any trouble, but anyway, he took me to Needles Jail. I got separated from my friends, and I was in this jail cell. And I thought I should write a song because I thought I was Johnny Cash or something. I'm still under the influence, and I wrote a song called Lonely Moon, and later on my friend Stuart Duncan recorded it in 1994, and it was nominated for Grammy. And anyway, but the reason I say that is because, like, I think I heard John Lennon talking one time. He's saying, well, if you want to be a songwriter, write 1,000 songs, throw them in the trash, and then start. And I wrote that. That was my first song, and everybody still likes it for some reason.
Now, you had no instrument in that jail cell, so you did it like a cappella in your head?
Yeah, I was a coyote. I was a coyote howling.
Yeah. Do you remember my
sister had to come and get me up 4 hours.
Yeah, I've done that thing. I've done the jail for being drunk thing too.
Been there.
I had to wait for the bus, so my sister did. let me ask you, first time you played in front of people?
Well, we had a coffee house 10 miles away. I grew up in a town called Fontana, California, which is a steel mill town.
I know where that is.
50 miles east of Los Angeles, so that puts us...
Right, like Riverside, Land Empire.
Yeah, just east of San Bernardino, and there's a coffee house there called the Penn University. which was in the 60s, and then it went all the way up to the 70s. And it's a place not like coffee houses nowadays. You go in and it just looks like a ice cream parlor, and the coffee machine's louder than the music. But back then, it was like you could hear a pin drop when you played, and I really liked that. And they had open mics. And people like Mary McCaslin and Rob Stranlin, who later wrote Already Gone for the Eagles, and people like that were you could see any day of the week. And you could be in high school and roll your own cigarettes and drink coffee, and nobody would yell at you. So we first were just going there to hide out. And then the music just paraded one after another. I got into bluegrass by watching that be paraded before me. And I started getting into the music. Really, I was just hiding at first.
Right. What was that first gig like? Were you scared?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have any confidence. But, people were very nice. Yeah. So after that closed, I started a nomadic concert series of my own, kind of using that as a mold, and it was called the Starvation Cafe. And I did that for about 12 years, and I supplied a stage, because I knew how it felt not to have a stage.
Right.
So I provided a stage for people so they could grow, and I think you really need that silence. Because a lot of people go, come on, you can't. People can talk while you're playing. Were you a baby? I didn't believe that. I think I took it seriously.
Yes,
and I knew that if people want to make that decision whether they wanted to get into music or not, you need the silence to find. Because you just find it. Maybe you don't like it, so then you'll find out.
Right. You need to focus.
Somebody needs to give you a break.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I did that for 12 years. I mean, people like Ben Harper have been very kind to acknowledge me for helping him out.
Ben Harper.
It wasn't tough.
Yeah, pretty incredible singer, guitar man.
He's just amazing and eventual, yeah.
I want to play this.
Dear friend.
I want to play this tune you did. I guess it's a medley. It's Lose It and Atreyu.
I did. Atreyu?
Yeah, let me play that right now.
Yeah.
Standing on rock inside my shoes. Rock inside my shoes. Looking forward, moving backwards. Seems that I sure have a knack for trying to see what's your point of view. Looking forward, moving backward. Rest assured, it's not for lack of trying
Thank you. Thank you.
drawn and cornered. And there on its back, and it rightly symbolizes a world under attack. A grandfather's truck garden, a child's hair golden and curled, and a prison granting pardon. These are all new hopes of the world. The words "I love you" are not in essence three words to scream. A note to myself, feathered fortune to redeem. And I'm trying to organize my cry. Note to self to say goodbye. And I'm just behind the eight ball that's placed behind the plow. And I'm glad to say to you that I have a daughter now. And I had a rip-roaring imagination with you, but you can't change my ways before I do. And will my name be forgotten? Will it hold up in candlelight? Will it be stuck in traffic? Will it win yet lose its sight? The words "I love you" are not in essence three words to scream. A note to myself, feathered fortune to redeem. And I'm trying to organize my cry. Note to self to say goodbye. And I don't mean to trump the dawn with this clown suit I've got on, but who am I anyway to swing on a star and walk away? And I don't have what fate holds, and how near the sound of far, drinking melting margaritas in a brand new used car. Maharaji trumpets are my conscience, and my heart is on hold when I'm only as young as the day is old. The words "I love you" are not in essence three words to scream. A note to myself, feathered fortune to redeem. I'm trying to organize my cry. A note to self to say goodbye. I'm burning for freedom as I'm looking up the world, and it feels to have a meaning that I've never heard. Like a newborn child that beholds my health, and I am at the wheel of that which controls itself. My mother rose above a holler and a ridge, and I'm on my way to San Diego and the Brayer Brothers Bridge. And every day I'm feeling. That feelings are just confession. With a daughter in your arms, you are receiving a mystery lesson. Where love blots out religion and the perils of the world. In a sexual situation, around your finger curled. The truth and I, we just stand substantial. We sort of make a golden cross. A figure moans in the darkness, and I'm at a winner's loss. The words I love you are not in essence. Words to scream, a note to myself, feathered fortune to redeem, and I am trying to organize my cry, note to self to say goodbye. Brick house. Fortress gates, they don't keep out a thing, and they don't keep in theory that the future cannot claim. Peasant banjo, take me home. I've come a long, long way from then. Not that it's ever clear, but the sexy side of sin, a velvet painting of a traitor, far gone skipping of a rope, and trees weep in the car lights, and as I run I hope. Enough with realization, nothing cast in stone. Am I on my own, or am I just all alone? The moon was tiny, it almost let me down. Then I thought deep of how the gold crucify the crown. We were together in all kinds of weather that blows high in the air, the feather, and when and where it touched down, only us it will astound. The words I you're not in essence. Three words to scream. A note to myself. Feathered fortune to redeem. And I am trying to organize my cry. Note to self to say goodbye.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music star Patrick Breyer doing Lose It After You, and then brand new from Sawako and Kosei Komatsu, Butterfly Claw, brand new from Maya up in the city, Rock Inside My Shoe, Benji Johnson with 7 Degrees Below out of North Carolina, Guided by Voices, Bob Pollard with new stuff, big surprise, Climbing a Ramp, Agnes Steck out of Texas with Feisty Quakes. Horde of Two, The Third Rail. Everybody with Subways know about that. Bombas Prendon, Brain Bomb. And then finally, Note to Self to Say Goodbye, Patrick Breyer. Enlighten us. to that first tune we played?
Lose it? Well, my brother-in-law plays bass. Pardon?
Yeah. Your brother-in-law plays yeah. bass.
My brother-in-law, he plays bass in the group, and he got me to play pedal steel and Turkish saws on their album, Lead Sails. And so it was kind of a cultural exchange for me coming from a whole other era, but I mean, I really respect their music and the energy. Is just I can't believe how they do it. They're so good. And so I did a rendition of my own of that song afterwards, which brought them a chuckle, I hope. And I thought it was a good song. I just wanted to show that the lyrics were strong no matter how you played them.
When you write, do you write lyrics first or music first?
Probably lyrics usually.
Wow, okay.
I'm all about words.
Right. When does the title come? When does the title come on board?
Well, usually first, then I try to build around that. But
you know
not
what?
Always, but
I asked that question. I asked that question because I need to do that. I have to have a title, and like everybody I ask almost that's been on the show, I've had the show now 21 years. They say the title's always last. Not in my case. So I'm glad to hear that from you, Patrick. You validate me.
No, you get some kind of nugget so the thing will start. Look, I don't know anybody that sits down to write a song that they already have in their head and they're just going to write it down because it's already in their head. You have an idea,
sure.
And you build upon that idea.
Yes.
You get flowing. You get something to get flowing, and then you get out of the way.
Okay.
And that's how you get a song. That's what stops most people is they keep waiting for the whole thing to come, or they get a voice in their head telling them that they don't know what they're doing, or, you know, because if you really thought about it, you wouldn't even do it because you don't, who knows? Who am I to say anything?
You get in your own way.
Yeah, you got to get beyond the voices.
Sure.
And just let it go. Let it be what it is. And just, and it always seems, you know, you get a process. And as you go along, you realize it works and you're comfortable with it. And so it becomes easier for you to write.
So you did 12 years of this, making, I like a forum, right, for artists.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
And then after that, I did 4 years of radio, so I can relate to what you're doing at University of California, Riverside. So I played people's music on the radio that wouldn't get played, and did a lot of other things, too.
You know what? There used to be some gigs on campus there at a place called The Barn.
Oh, yeah. I've been there many times.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about then. Yeah. Because I did a little, I think it was in the late 80s.
The lady that put those concerts on, the folk music ones, for many years, her name was Dot Harris.
Uh-huh.
And she had the radio program right after me. So I got to see her every week. She was amazing. She was deep.
Now, when you had your own radio show, you got to play your own song. You didn't have to follow somebody else's playlist. You were the shot caller, right?
Correct, yeah. I just did whatever I wanted. I dragged people in to play. I played their music. Well, for instance, there was one day I was, it was when Miles Davis died.
Oh.
I did a special day for him and built upon the quote that he once said, that when asked if jazz was the only original form of American music, his answer was, well, it sure wasn't that hillbilly crap. So, in answer to that, I played him and Bill Monroe on two turntables, blended together for 2 hours.
No, that's great, because you know what? Music is music. I read Miles Davis's Quincy Troupe book, and yeah, the man had some anger. A little bit, but
yeah.
Also, in another way, he was very beautiful. I don't think he ever told John Coltrane what to play. But he did end up socking him in the stomach for nodding off and made him quit the shit. So, you know, it's amazing stuff like that.
Well, I would do that often, where I would mix two or three records together and compose while doing it. It's very, I love the experimenting, and the thing about it is that it sounds like chaos at first,
yeah.
But if you just calm down and listen, the things actually start to begin to go together.
Yeah.
If you just relax, and it's not funny any longer, it's actually serious.
Sure.
And I love those kind of transportations, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd include anything. I would read, you know, Bukowski poems if I wanted, and
did you ever get into the Torin thing?
What's that?
You know, you get in the, start driving and play other people's towns.
Oh, touring.
Yes, sir.
Well, a little bit, yeah. In the Bluegrass Band, we had an old 50s flexible bus, and we would go around to festivals.
Yeah.
In this old, decrepit bus, playing, and, I didn't work it hard. Like, not as comfortable traveling as other people are. I find that that's like taking care of business. You go out and take care of business. So I can take care of business for a while, and then it becomes too much. I have to go back to the writing. That's where the bliss is.
Sure.
I come out, I try to do a little business. I hope somebody plays my songs. But I can only care for so long before I get nervous and I have to go back to my comfort area, which is writing.
No, that makes sense. The bungee cord snaps you back. Patrick, we're at the end of the first hour, July 29, 2022 edition of Wapito. So special guest, Patrick Blair. Hold tight for hour two. July 29, 2022. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
2, 3, 4. Very first time that I saw you, you were standing in the rain. The very last time I saw you, it's like you invented pain. Now I'm sitting and I'm holding everything I thought was mine. And I'm low down here and sorry as I spill a glass of wine that you fill up with poison. I feel better as I fall, and I'm glad I brought you flowers when I done come to call. And you look pretty standing over me, lipstick hanging in the air, and you fortify your stockings with one leg on the chair. Standing there, just standing there, you fortify your stockings, just standing be patient with the shadows. And I thought it rather crude, it wasn't my life that spooled before me, but someone I never knew. I've been cheated, it appears, but I didn't seem to mind. I rather felt it was a favor, first time that you've been kind. Standing there, just standing there, I rather felt it was a fever, the way you were standing there. Gravesite, pallbearers be my legs, black shawl, pale skin, and green grass, and you get all the dregs. I'm free, I thank you. Now let the freedom start. And I hope that they don't catch you, though you never been that smart. It's really hard to tell who you's who and why. Now as you learn to live with what I learned to die. Moon be golden eyes and do be get her hair with a face like milk upon the shadows. My ghost be standing there, standing there, just standing there. Like milk upon the shadows, just standing there. The very first time that I saw you, you were standing in the rain. Very last time that I saw you, it's like you invented pain.
Thank you. Let's go!
on the lane, bottle in my hand, while I'm trying to know what I'm dying to know. If I take this leave, fail to succeed, I'm dying to know. This is it, I'm shaking, my body's aching. If I lose my hope, I will let go. This is it, I'm falling, my wings need to grow, calling me to lose my hope, then I may let go. So many roads, pitfalls filled with doubt explode. I'm dying to know. Grabbing what I need, grip until it bleeds. I'm dying to know. This is it, I'm shaking, my body's aching, and if I lose my hold, I will let go. And this is it, I'm falling, my wings need to grow, calling me to lose my hold. Will I be broken for keeps? This I'm dying to know.
Pedro show, we start off the second hour. Patrick Breyer doing Standing There. Then we had Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Appetite. Brand new from Noisuka. It's a phallic Birdman from Lascaux. Brand new from Kiwi Jr. Unspeakable Things. They're living in Toronto, but I think they're Maritime. Right? Nova Scotia, they got. Kim Boom and Kessner out of Berlin with Vodi Narcisten Blun. And then, the Light Brothers with Sister, Brother, Daughter. This is 14 years ago. Kyoto. doing a Funanori song called Lazy and Crazy, and finally lose it, Patrick Breyer. So this is another version, right, of Lose It.
Of what?
Lose It.
Yeah, there's their version and there's my version.
Right. And, you know, that's always interesting, right, when you redo, when you make something your own or somebody makes something own out of yours. Interesting, right? We're not talking like top 40 or karaoke, but you actually change it a little bit.
Yeah, for instance, I don't know if you've ever heard the recording of, I think I might have sent it to you, of my Ian Stewart Duncan doing The Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn.
You know what?
With...
Yeah, that's right. The Boy Who Couldn't Hoe Corn, right.
Which is from...
We're going to play it in hour three. Breyer, Stewart, Duncan. Okay. Right.
Which is, which I got from the Harry Smith collection. It was called The Lazy Farmer. It's an old 78 RPM record, right? I learned it.
Okay.
And as a fiddle kind of tune. And I would just work up a rendition on my bed in my room on slide guitar. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And I put it on one of my collections. I have 60 volumes of music, and I don't know which one that's on, but I put it on there and, you know, just moved on. And then Alison Krauss heard it, and she liked it. She worked it up with her band.
Right.
And then she called me on the phone and said, we're going to do The Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn.
Oh, with Robert Plant. Well, yeah.
Well, eventually it was Robert Plant, but first with her band.
No, what I remember was Alison Krauss started working with Robert Plant, right?
Well, this afterwards, but this was before that.
Okay.
She put The Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn on one of her records with Union Station first.
Okay.
The Robert Plant thing was like a crossroads thing where they get two artists together and the other one sings the other one's song. So he sang Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn because he was doing one of her songs.
Ah, I understand.
So I think what I was trying to say is that people will always tell you don't play folk music because you won't make any money. And that song, she called, I'm going to do the Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn. I said, well, I'm glad, but you didn't have to call me. It's just a folk song. She goes, no, it's your arrangement. You get paid. I go, oh, I didn't even think of it. I was just screwing around. And that went platinum. And that was the most money I ever made on a song was a, you know, silly little folk song.
It shows to go, you know. Think
yeah,
about,
lesson.
Yeah, because Patrick, I'm thinking of like a lump of clay. And then through some ceramic skill, you can turn it into a beautiful coffee mug or some shit. It's ashtray.
Yeah. It teaches you to don't assume anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's healthy.
Stop assuming.
Yeah. my pop thought the spelling of that word was magical. He says, that's not by accident, boy. You make an ass out of you and me. He just thought it was a miracle of the grammar. Look, you gave me this song here, Toe Tag on My Heart. Interesting title.
This toe tag on my heart. I don't remember the end being all that dark. Life speaks for itself as a hidden art. Each note a toe tag on my heart. How'd I get this toe tag? every side of beauty ride. How'd I get this toe tag on my battle flag of clouds, bullet ridden by the light? It's never easy for a poor man to count his wealth. One less thing to do to prolong his health. How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? First breath bookends your last in rhyme. How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? Everything else in the middle like moon dust, so fine. Your hair like barnyard feathers askew. I wake up with the living, yet I go to sleep with you. How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? Huge fake diamond bracelet reaching for the rest, like someone punched an old ice chest. I got one last question before I pull apart. You guessed it, how'd I get this toe tag on my heart? How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? And I don't remember the end being all that dark. Life speaks for itself as a hidden art. Each note a toe tag on my heart. How'd I get this toe tag on my heart? How'd I get this toe tag on my heart?
It's not fair when you're not
not born to fly. To keep an angel from the sky. And we may loom selfish, call it control, pretend that others are our love's hidden gold. Burning a bridge of our own making out of the coals you are raking. You can hear its sound, you can feel it tear. Trying to be, but it's not fair. And it's a give and a take of honesty. Oh, human nature, capture and release. And it may be your mother, it may be your daughter too, a lamb saved from the slaughter by you. And it may be your wife, it may be your foe. For heaven is only a real place for the heart to know. And only it can breathe there. And it's trying to be, but it's not fair. And it's a give and a take, honesty. Oh, human nature, capture and release. Children in a burlap, guys mowing lawn, and shade tree mechanics all getting along. And a wife and her lover shooting pool in the air condition, golden rule. And take my advice, don't listen to me. The best earthly advice is never free. The homeless lie like dead soldiers in the park. Try to ignore them and the million dogs bark. And hear the sound, you can feel it tear. And it's trying to be, but it's not fair. And it's a give and a take of honesty. Oh, human nature, capture and release.
For Pedro, show that choke of music. We start off Patrick Brainerd doing Ice Bag, the Ice Bag, Toe Tag. What am I thinking of? Toe Tag on My Heart. And then we had Harry Sima with Desiragio, Floating Problems with Spied Through a Drippy Jar, Viv Cornham with Al Margolis. Al Margolis out of Chester, New York. To Albert Two. Finally, Patrick Brainerd, Capture and Release. That's a kind of fishing, right?
Yeah, it's my fishing song.
It's where you're kind of the fish, right? You let them go. You don't shout. But I'm interested in the toe tag, too.
Yeah, well.
But I like the other ones, too, though. I'm sorry.
I like it when you could laugh at it. It could be funny, but when you really listen, it isn't funny.
No, it's not.
This guy is really.
It's not.
I like him when they can go both ways.
I remember being a teen, like 13 or something, asking my mother, "Ma, what's black humor?" She said, "Michael White, I want you to read Joseph Heller's Catch 22."
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's funny, but not really funny. humor, right?
When I recorded the song, yeah. A friend of mine, his name is Brian Bowers. He's a kind of a famous auto harp player that's in the Hall of Fame and makes a lot of great records. Anyway, he was stopped by my house. Usually he could stop when he's touring, he would stop at our house for a couple of weeks and we'd hang out and have a good time. And he had to go on this auto harp cruise that somebody had paid for, you know, so he's kind of famous auto harp player. So he was the main deal. So he left a bunch of instruments at my house so you wouldn't have to lug them around. And one of them was an old Gibson mandocello. That's what that is, that instrument. I just fell in love with it, tuned it open, and kind of did my own thing. But it was you can hear it's a sacred instrument.
Yeah, there was a time when they had, and usually they were populated with women, but these mandolin orchestras, like 30, 40 girls playing mandolins of every size, like from bass to mandocellos to, you know, maybe 100 years ago. I see.
Same thing with banjo.
Same thing with banjo? Okay.
Yeah, same thing with banjos, too. They were classical. They had old classical periods before the hillbillies got hold of them.
Yeah, also, they're kind of the first blues instruments before guitars. Nick Tosh has got a trippy book called The Twisted Roots of Country Music and Rock and Roll. And he talks about
that. That's one of my favorite books.
Okay. It's really heavy. It's all about minstrel and banjos and shit. Jewish songwriter. Roy Acuff.
I always buy that book for somebody when they're interested in something like that. That's the perfect one. His take on Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, he's just a master.
Yeah, because people got this idea of Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, right? And that's not really where it comes from. The movies ended up being the biggest teachers of people, and so whoever was making the movies was actually making huge impressions on people. So I'm glad Nick Tosh has wrote that book. So, Toe Tag on My Heart. So, yeah, funny but not funny.
Yeah, I think you mentioned cinema. Yeah, I think cinema plays a big part in my lyrics. I think they're more.
So you're like.
I think they are more cinematic.
Like you're trying to set up scenes.
Yeah, I study obviously books, and I study movies too. And I don't think I look at anything like a normal person would look at them. When I look at a book, I'm not really that interested in the plot. You can probably tell by my songs, too. I'm more interested in the feeling.
No, absolutely.
The words.
It reminds me of what Alfred Hitchcock talked about when he said the MacGuffin. Like that, it's not important. What's important is the chemistry you get going between the characters.
Yeah, it's something that Rabbi Shanker said one time. He said, you know, the music is about, I think it's called a tempura, the one that...
Right, it makes it plays all the notes at once.
The drone.
Right.
The one that plays the drone, he says, that's
usually a woman playing it.
Yeah, you're right. And he said, what I'm doing here, all this flashy stuff he's doing, he said, I'm just trying to get your attention to draw you in to the drone, because it's the most part that keeps him humble. But that's his purpose, is not about himself, but to draw you in to the drone. So I look at a movie, I'm more interested in the lighting and the language. If there's good dialogue, I like, you know, the dialogue. Film noir lighting, you know.
I want
that in my songs, you know. I think, how can I make that? How can I put that in a song? How can I do this? How can I mix up these things? How can I mix up Spanish poetry and bluegrass?
Yeah.
How can I fuse these things? There's so many possibilities that why limit yourself?
Yeah, it reminds me of this joke. Why does a dog lick his balls? Because he can.
Yeah.
Look, we're at the second hour. Welcome to the Pedro Show, March 29, 2022. Special guest Patrick Breyer. Hold tight for hour three. July 29, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro.
An anthem to the trees, and the stars rain down as brightly as they please. And tomorrow passes the day right on by. Your thoughts are stainless, looking for a painless. Looking for a painless way to cry. Smoking three home rolled cigarettes at a time, shooting out the lights so you have an excuse to feel blind. And here comes a baby on your knee, without even trying, it's already crying, and it can't even see. But you're the hourglass sand, and you no longer shoot for the moon. You don't even try, and in your mind you'll just be happy to find a painless way. Come in late, they exchange shaky alibis. The trailer doors left wide open, and a stray dog come inside. And a refrigerator full of burgundy harmonizes with a fluorescent sunlight. And on a night that just won't die, as domestic as an apple pie. One in a bare knuckle fist fight. And you're hoping if that's even the right word. And you're singing, but no sound can be heard. And you're seeking out a bird that doesn't ever need to fly. And you're on the scene while you're practicing a painless way to cry. They made love in the chocolate mountains, got married at the Salton Sea. Yeah, but the preacher jumped parole, so they'll just see what they will see. And these aren't even real tears. Yeah, and the world will yet conclude. Hotter than a sauna, cheap drugs from Tijuana have never felt so good. Well, you're looking, yeah, that you know you can. And you're looking at the hourglass sand. And you no longer shoot for the moon. You don't even try. In your mind, you're just happy to find a painless way to cry. the farmer wouldn't hoe his corn. And why it was I never could tell, 'cause that young man was always well. His way even
go.
If I have to ramble this whole wide world.
Pedro Show, third hour. Start off, Patrick Breyer doing Painless Way to Cry. And then Atmosphere, no T in there, people. More Die of Heartbreak. Not attack, break. And then, what we were referring to earlier, Breyer, Stewart, Duncan, doing The Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn. Thank you, Allison Krauss. What do you got going right now, Patrick? You got something coming out on Shrimper, right?
It's already out, yeah. That Cabbage and Kings, that Dennis Plachy championed as a collection of my music for Shrimper Records. That just came out, yeah. Everything I sent you, except for the Corn and the Atreyu, is all from Cabbage and Kings. Which is about 10, I gave him a bunch of stuff I only went back 10 years, but. Maybe I gave him 30 songs and I let him pick, and so I thought he did a good job.
And what was your connect with Shrimper, with Dennis Clutch?
Well, I'd known him for years. He, because he ran a record store, Rhino Records, in Claremont.
That's right. You know what's trippy about Claremont? Right next door is Montclair.
Yeah, they ran out of creativity.
Yeah, I know. Okay, and there's a lot of colleges. Well, the Claremont one. I don't know about the Montclair one so much.
There's eight colleges in Claremont. Yeah, that was up. Imagine going from the steel mill town. It's only about a half hour away. I'm in the steel mill town of Fontana, and I go to Claremont. There's eight colleges.
Right.
It's a culture shock.
Right.
But I used to just love to go to the Folk Music Center. Well, we were talking about Kalachi. Let's see if I finish my thought on that. We kind of knew each other. We always said hi. I wasn't sure if he really knew who I was. He recognized me. And then after many, many years, he just walked up to me one day and says, you know, I was listening to your LP, Cold Feelings, which came out in 1979, only LP I ever made. He goes, and I had some dark coffee, and it was raining, and I had an epiphany. So I go, well, you need to hear some of my newer stuff. So I got him some, but he was so excited that I didn't bother to tell him that those recordings kind of embarrassed me a little bit. But though it had some great people on there, like Stuart Duncan, that was the first recording session he ever made. I think he was 15 years old.
Whoa.
And Craig Smith also won a Grammy later on for his banjo playing. And right after that recording in 1979, Stewart moved to Nashville. Craig Smith moved to North Carolina. So everything broke up. That was kind of my end of my bluegrass period, which lasted about 10 years. I think I was all gung-ho on bluegrass. Then I felt limited, I couldn't compete either. That music, those guys are so good and playing so fast.
Right. You were talking Bill Monroe.
Down.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you play the fiddle on your arm or Because usually you call it a violin, right? But if you put it on your arm, it's a fiddle.
I played bluegrass. The old-timey musician would put it on their arm,
yeah.
I would do that when I felt old-timey.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of posturing. There's a lot of posturing.
Yeah, well, come on.
It's like when you started, you go, I want to be a poet. You go out and buy a beret and a suit.
I was just going to tell you, my favorite holiday is Halloween because it's the one day a year we don't pretend we're wearing costumes. Okay.
Yeah.
So Dennis Kocsi, he wants to put like some kind of retrospective, but you wanted stuff only from the last 10 years.
Yeah, I gave him about 30 songs encompassing about 10 years and let him, he chose. And, it's kind of uniting our factions of our, there's a whole scene going on with him.
Yeah.
There's a whole another scene in Redlands of around Cracker,
Sure.
And there's a whole other scene. I came from the camp of Chris Darrow. He was my mentor. And he was 10 years older than me. And he'd been in, Kaleidoscope with David Lindley, the world, psychedelic world music on Epic Records. You remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
He was in the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yep,
he was in Linda Ronstadt with Bernie Leadon. So
he was doing everything I was interested in. Burrito Brothers and that whole troubadour scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to meet. I got to meet Patrick was a Sneaky Pete, that steel player.
Yeah, he's great.
Incredible.
When was that?
Oh, it was in the 90s. Sometime he happened to be at Cherokee Studio when I was there. The Rudd Brothers were running that place. One of them lived in Pedro. You gave me some stuff from something you called the Pandemic Sessions 2020. I want to play this. I'm gonna love you in advance.
It's a seesaw situation. Sometime up, sometime down. To burn upon consideration and steal a kiss from upon a friend. In the dawn, and when the sun sets out on the gravel and holds guard upon our lawn, I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you in advance. Now some feelings never come round to anticipate. It's often too late, and you can't smoke in the house, and you can't drink in the car, and most action is a hesitate, and you're running thin, no time to dance. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you in advance. I'm gonna love you before you know it, and when you do, it'll be too late. You can't shoot me down, nor break the trance, 'cause I've already loved you. I've already loved you. that he loved you in advance. It's a seesaw situation.
Come on in, the prophet.
prophet said, our God is dead. Won't you call her, let us know how you've been. Watch him check his head with a cigarette and a prayer. Ease him down. Now there's nothing left but his petrol breath in a room that keeps spinning around. The static fog and Mary's skull. Myself to blame. The plastic gun still turns her on. I can see she's almost gone. Now we all get paid when the nightmares fade. It's not as bad as being alone. The undertow is strong down here in the sky. It's TV gray. And a waitress shaking me awake. She's pretty in a funeral way. She says, I like your face, but you can't see here anyway. You look like hell. I cough and say, I'm on my way to the promised land, can't you tell? Ooh, scrape me off the walls. I pay one soldier, just grab my coat. Help me find my way to the door. Ooh, I'll let you know. That dream from a shattered screen. Take me right where I wanna go.
structure of broken pride. Do my tears pull you aside and float like diamonds upon no wealth? Or am I crying on myself? Or am I crying in perfect play? Or am I crying on myself? Circus smell of hay and tents in a lonely room so full of hints. The lap of a castle below a garage where the only beauty is a woman's mirage. Or am I crying in perfect play? Or am I crying on myself today? Box that holds a TV where every program gets the best of me. Like stolen trophies, my memories abound. She put aluminum foil on the antenna before she left this town. Then now I'm crying in perfect play. Or am I crying on myself today? Rhyme or reason, darkening my chair, puzzled by my own brute stare. Pull my body upward, empty my glass like a torch. The evening hisses and makes a smear upon the past. Until I'm crying in perfect play, or am I crying on myself today? Present is just a split second. If the past were so good, then why's this funeral darkness sold me on this hood? 'Cause a man's just a memory inside, and they keep piling high until they overflow right out of your eye. Until I'm crying in perfect play, or am I crying on myself too? Makes more than a whisper when it's poured into the glass. And I'm propping up the voices that pray too fast. Here while I'm crying in perfect play, or am I crying on myself too?
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Start off the chunk with I Love You in Advance, Pandemic Sessions 2020, Patrick Breyer. Then we had Angry Silence after that with Our Place Called Future. Curse Alono after that with Way to Mars. Mythless with Voidless. Mode Allman out of Baltimore with Pixess. P-I-T-C-E-S-S. Pitsess. Maybe made up, huh? Sad-Eyed Beatniks with It's If That What Love Is, and then finally Patrick Breyer with another Pandemic Sessions 2020 tune, Cry Perfect. What was the Pandemic 2020 session?
Well, exactly that. We were locked in. We were in lockdown.
Absolutely.
And I wrote the song, Love You in Advance, for my daughter who was not born yet, but it was coming. So I wrote it in a way that could also be a love song too, but I think of it as, you know what I mean, she's a child on the way. And when you played Note to Self, when I think about language, my love for language, and an example would be that song. It might sound weird, but I don't know any of my songs by heart. I couldn't sing you a song without some lyrics down. I'm always writing, so I'm really not going back a lot, but I just listened to the beginning of that one day and I realized it was like, the moon is drawn and quartered and there on its side. And I realized right there the power of words. You take the moon out of the sky and chop it up, yeah. and it's laying there. You have to imagine that. That's powerful what words can do.
Absolutely.
They can pull the moon out of the sky
and cut it
and
up.
Chop it up.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful.
You can do anything.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. Literature, songwriting, theater, and what we were talking before, movies. It's really the idea of creating an image, creating a scene, creating some kind of something, right? A happening, I think they said in the 60s. So what do you got planned next? We're almost out of time here.
Well, I got new songs that I'm trying to get back in the studio here. My wife took over, was a school teacher, teaches English literature, and she taught in a whole year and took over my studio. So I let her do, and I moved into the house, kind of, and I'm in the studio right now, which is basically a garage with my stuff in it.
Yeah.
So, but for that year, I worked on my writing. I'm writing a couple of books, of short stories. One is called The Fontophiles, Fonta being the slang term, a gang term for Fontana. Okay. And the other one is called the Pomona Sorrows.
Yeah, we got that around here, too. The town next door is Wilmington, but the slang is Wemoss. And when I came from Virginia, I thought it was everybody was into this lady named Wilma. I didn't know. I'm a slow learner.
You're in San Pedro, right?
I know. We say Pedro. Yeah, that's fucked up, too. I know. But we don't say tortilla. We don't say jalapenos and shit like that. But they said it was from the Scandinavian sailors 100 years ago. Didn't know about that. So, but even the Latin guys say, I think it's a test. If we hear Pedro, we know you ain't been here. But look, when you get, you're going to make an album with these new songs, right?
Well, that could happen, yeah.
When you do.
Yeah, that's what my process is. You know, you don't need, nobody needs 60 CDs, but that's part of my process is to catalog them. So I can move on.
Sure, absolutely.
If they all stood around, I would be so worried about them. Once I record them and put them on something, then I can move on. I cannot tell then can I move on. So that's kind of
it's being responsible. I like that. Well, look.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to impress anybody.
No, I understand. And look, and here's my offer. When you get this next record done, will you please come on the show and we can play the songs and talk about them?
I would love it.
Oh, thank you so much, Patrick. Truly. Please keep on.
Yeah, I feel like this making a new friend here.
Yeah, well, you got a fan.
That's the way I work. I don't know anything about business. I just, your career looked very interesting to me. Actually, I was looking into it, and it was so deep that I had to stop. I thought, if I go any farther, I'm going to be intimidated. I won't be able to talk. So I'm waiting until after we do this show. Then I'm going to dig in.
Okay. But you were
so interesting.
You were a beautiful guest. I'm so honored to have you on the show, truly. 21 years of doing this. Beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much, Patrick. Can't wait to have you back on, truly.
Yeah, can't wait to keep in touch.
Okay, brother. People, it's been July 29, 2022. Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.